fire crews in Zebulon just put out a house fire. I'm live on scene working to learn how the fire started.
Happening right now, renewed cries for a ceasefire resolution in Gaza at Raleigh City Council. A live look inside where more than 100 people are expected to speak. Durham Public Schools employees still waiting to see what's next for their paychecks. How this issue could affect next year's budget.
Cooler air tonight with a wild warm-up on the way. Wind temperatures jump back into the 60s.
Right now at 7, we are following breaking news. Large flames ripped through a home in Zebulon, displacing the family that lived there. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. This unfolded on Golden Plum Lane not long ago. WRO's Willie Danley live there at the scene in Zebulon with some more information. Good news, no one was hurt in this, Willie.
Yes, Dan, I'm standing here on Golden Plum Lane. I spoke to some neighbors, and they tell me that this fire is absolutely devastating. Take a look at this. You can see the extent of the damage to this family home. The neighbors that I spoke to told me it was a woman and her children that escaped this fire. You can actually see a part of a car that's in there just completely destroyed. And look at these windows of the upstairs. According to Zebulon Fire, this fire took 30 minutes for them to get out. They got here very quickly. Take a look at these photos that were sent to WREL, and you can see this fire while the flames were still up. Neighbors tell me it was like something they've never seen before, and this is a relatively new neighborhood. They say this home is only about 4 years old, so they're very shocked to see this happen in their community. As of right now, the Red Cross is on scene assisting that family that has been displaced from this home. We're still working to learn the full extent of the damage of this fire, but we're going to get those answers and keep you updated when we find out. Back to you.
Hopefully they can salvage some of their belongings. Willie Danley live in Zebulon. Thank you, Willie.
Students were back in school in Durham, but the salary saga is not over. In a couple of days, the school board will meet with the Durham Association of Educators. That group has been asking for a seat at the table as weeks of protests unfolded. The board has two more meetings scheduled in the next week or so, one of them with county commissioners, bringing more voices to the conversation. WRL's Monica Casey shows us where things stand now in this pay dispute and why there could be longer-term issues coming.
As the Durham Public School Board considers what to do about pay this year, questions are coming up about next year as well, with some concerning trends.
The report into what happened with Durham Public Schools classified staff pay also shows a glimpse of what could be coming to the local budget. Hill Consultants, who did the salary study, weighed in on deeper issues. The report says, quote, the consultants also identified other apparent shortfalls in the district's budget, due in part to declining student enrollment that has resulted in a significant decrease in state funding. Schools are funded by the state based on their average daily membership. According to state data, that number is declining, with more families opting out of public school education in Durham. The district's website says state funding makes up about 48% of the budget and local funding about 30%.
We do need to figure out responsibly what we're going to do. We can't spend money that we don't have.
School board members voted only on February paychecks last week, tabling a long-term decision until the newly hired comptroller can weigh in. Board member Natalie Byer cited staff emails saying the long-term picture has, quote, an alarming amount of uncertainty.
We need to be clear about the physical reality. And the state is not coming to help us.
The price tag to keep February paychecks at the October rate was $700,000. For DPS to keep paying classified staff at the rate from last October, that's when they got raises from the salary study, the district would be $9 million over budget. In Durham, Monica Casey, WRL News.
Well, you know, district staff have recommended four options for the school board to consider on this issue. All of those could be funded in the current budget.
Ashley, I want to bring our viewers into the WRL Live Center. Good evening. I'm Chris Lovingood. Right now, we are giving you a live look inside the Raleigh City Council meeting happening right now, where more than 130 people are expected to speak tonight regarding calls again for a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. Now, keep in mind, this is despite the mayor and council putting out a statement last week saying they will not consider a ceasefire resolution. Now, we have seen some council members speaking, no public members just yet, so we're still watching that. But I tell you what, at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and 11 o'clock o'clock on WREL. We've got reporter Julian Grace and photojournalist Brad Simmons. They are going to be out. They'll be bringing us the latest from this meeting. We'll bring it you here on WREL News.
You bet, Chris. Thank you. Today, hundreds of law enforcement officers, community, and family gathered in Dunn to pay their final respects to Harnett County Deputy Chris Johnson. He and his wife of his wife and four children, looked on as he was transferred from the hearse into the unit. Hundreds gathered inside Central Baptist Church for a memorial service honoring Johnson. He died a week ago after colliding with a tractor trailer in his patrol car. Johnson spent 16 months as an SRO at a middle school with previous jobs in Sampson County and Dunn.
Chris Johnson was one of the few that allowed his kindness and sincerity to make that badge brighter.
After the service, Deputy Johnson's body was transported to a private family cemetery in Clinton, where he was buried.
One person is dead after a crash along an overwashed highway in the Outer Banks. Strong wind from the same system that brought us rain caused this overwash and sand on NC-12 on Ocracoke Island, closing a 7-mile stretch in both directions. The Ocracoke Observer reports one person who died was trying to catch the ferry when they hit water on the road and went airborne. The highway is expected to remain closed through at least tomorrow afternoon. Other communities along the coast also saw flooding today. Windy weather in the Triangle and wintry weather in the Northeast caused some cancellations and delays at RDU today. FlightAware reported 31 flights have been canceled going to or from the airport. A flight headed into RDU from Nashville was diverted to Greensboro due to the wind. It was finally able to land around noon. Delta and American are seeing the most cancellations because of the major storm in the Northeast.
If you drive down Avon Ferry Road, you may have noticed a couple of new crosswalks there. These crosswalks are a little bit different than the typical ones you may have seen. As WRL Shelley Jackson reports, they're designed specifically to make the pedestrian more visible to drivers.
Take a look at this traffic. Can you imagine crossing this road without a crosswalk? These hawk crossings are highly visible crosswalks intended to make it safer and easier for people to get from one side of the road to the other.
This stretch of Avent Ferry Road gets pretty busy.
It's bad. It's a lot of traffic all the time.
It's not that safe to pass it, across the road. And we had the bus stop facing towards the opposite direction.
The busiest time of day, from 11 a.m. until noon.
We counted the amount of people who were crossing here before the signals went in, and we were getting up to 40 to 50 people in the busiest hour. So we knew that we needed to do something there.
WRAL data trackers looked at police crash data, finding 28 crashes on Avent Ferry involving pedestrians since 2015. And 75% of those crashes happened where there wasn't a crossing signal or stop sign. Hawklights utilize two familiar concepts, the walk signal and the red light.
And that's something that every driver knows. You see the red light, you stop.
According to the Federal Highway Administration, Hawklights reduce pedestrian crashes by 55%, reduce total crashes by 29%, and reduce serious injury and fatal crashes by 15%.
If you don't have something right there, it takes a long time to wait for all those cars to come to get across the street.
Hawks have been placed on Avent Ferry at Brigadoon Drive and Centennial View Lane. Derek Evans has lived in the area for 2 years, and he says the crosswalks have made it easier to cross the street. But
people, they don't be paying attention to it, and they don't stop. Like, so when you cross over, you have to still look.
And that was some good advice. I've seen a couple cars blast through red lights here after I hit the crosswalk button. Always a good idea to look before you cross. Shelley Jackson, WRAL News, Raleigh.
NCDOT helped fund, design, and install these crosswalks. There are 20 hawk crossings in Raleigh.
What to do about gas station heroin? State lawmakers weigh whether to ban or regulate the highly addictive drug found on convenience store shelves. Plus, a new survey reveals Jewish Americans are changing their behaviors as anti-Semitic acts are on the rise. WRL Data Trackers takes a closer look at the findings. Kat?
And grab your jacket. We are cooling back off tonight, and you'll definitely want it in the morning. I'll let you know when temperatures fall back below freezing coming up.
Want to bring you back into the WRAL Live Center to show you right now the public comment session has begun and the Raleigh City Council meeting. Again, 130 people expected to have signed up for public comment to demand the City Council to also demand a ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war. So we'll keep watching that one. But we're also watching this story right here, this woman right here. This is Toshiba Rice. The Wake County School Board has just appointed her to the school board until at least December. She's a wellness consultant, and she says, actually just spoke to her maybe 20 minutes ago, she says she is looking forward to continuing to support the district as a whole, and she also wants to make sure that the community still heals after that stabbing that happened at Southeast Raleigh Magnet School. And if you have seen this face before, it's because we actually interviewed Toshiba Rice not too long, actually about 12 years ago, so quite a bit ago, but she actually was saying how she pushed again for the community to have equal resources in schools in East Wake County. So again, another new member up there, at least until December, Toshiba Rice. We're still following that story.
All right, Chris, thanks. State lawmakers met today for the first time to talk about tie-in Neptune. It's better known as gas station heroin. A new committee has been tasked with figuring out if the state should regulate it or ban it. Tyoneptine, also known as Zaza, can be bought at many convenience stores and vape shops. It's a powerful drug that's prescribed as an antidepressant in some other countries. Here in the U.S., it's unregulated, and it's gaining popularity with teens. But it mimics opioids. It's highly addictive, and it can actually be deadly. 12 states have already banned the drug. Some want to ban it here as well. Representative Aaron Pare is not sure that it will really stop teens from accessing it.
Our young people have access to the internet where they can purchase these things, get it shipped directly to them or their friend, which they get it from. And it's really harmful to their health. And it's a growing problem that we have to deal with. It's very scary.
Pare says educating parents is really the first step. She said she has two high schoolers, but didn't even know about this drug until recently. The committee is expected to make recommendations for the full legislature to consider this spring.
Wake County health officials have identified three new Mpox cases in just the last 6 weeks. They're encouraging people who are at risk for the virus to get vaccinated and to help prevent the spread. Getting the free vaccine now can help protect you through spring and summer when large events and festivities tend to take place. To schedule your appointment and to find dates, you can go and locations where you can go, go to WRAL.com. The CDC is expected to loosen COVID isolation guidance. The Washington Post, citing multiple unnamed sources, says the new guidelines were discussed last week and expected to be shared soon. Current guidance says isolate for at least 5 days if you test positive for COVID-19. According to the Post, the updated guidance will be more in line with other respiratory illnesses, suggesting that isolation for 24 hours after being fever-free without medication. The agency is expected to release the new guidance in April for public feedback.
More Jewish Americans say they're changing their behaviors out of concern for their safety. That's according to a survey out today from the annual American Jewish Committee. WRAL's Ali Ingersoll shows us their concerns.
The survey takes a snapshot of American Jewish adults' perspective on anti-Semitism. The survey found 46% of those who answered altered their behavior in 2023, up from 38% the year before. That can mean anything from avoiding wearing Jewish symbols in public, going to certain places, or posting content online. The biggest change was that people say they're avoiding places or situations due to safety concerns. In 2022, 16% of Jewish Americans say they avoided events or locations, jumping 10 percentage points by the end of 2023 to 26%. People who have been targeted already by anti-Semitism are far more likely to change their behaviors, the survey reveals. If someone has been a target of a remark or attack, the likelihood they're going to avoid going to a place jumps to 45%. Most Jewish American adults are experiencing anti-Semitism online, and a sizable share say these incidents make them feel physically threatened.
We know anti-Semitism is a symptom of something, you know, much worse in our society, you know, something that might start with Jewish people is not going to end with Jews. We know this throughout history, actually, unfortunately.
Holly Huffnagel says there isn't one clear answer as to why there's a rise in anti-Semitism. Historically, she says that these sort of incidents increase during election years, economic downturns, and conflict.
All of these things together, amplified online, is really what we're seeing in this moment, and we've captured the impact on the Jewish community.
Also noteworthy, more than 9 out of every 10 people surveyed say they feel it's important for other religious and ethnic communities to work with the Jewish community to combat anti-Semitism and hate. For WREL News, I'm Allie Ingersoll.
You know, the survey first launched before the attacks in Israel, and then it had a brief pause after October 7th before restarting again.
Let's touch base with meteorologist Kat Campbell. Kat, beautiful day today. We have a chilly night ahead, though.
Yes, we do. Temperatures are going to be back in the 30s. Grab your coat tonight and grab it as you're leaving the house tomorrow morning. We get down to 31 in Roxborough tonight. So we're back below freezing in Roxborough, awfully close to freezing in South Hill and in Southern Pines. 35 Raleigh, 34 Durham and Rocky Mount, 36 for Fayetteville, Clinton, and 35 in Goldsboro under a clear sky tonight. Our mornings stay on the cooler side in the mid-30s the next couple of nights. We've got some 40s on the way as we get toward the end of the week, and then back down to freezing Sunday and even colder by next Monday morning. We could see more 20s on the map. In Roxborough tonight, all is quiet. You can see just a light breeze, but the winds have certainly settled down compared to what we were seeing earlier today. The nor'easter continues to move away from the U.S., taking the bulk of the snow with it, at least the heavy snow. But on the backside of this system, there is some snow up in parts of the Northeast right now. Upstate New York, we're also seeing some of that snow make its way into Pennsylvania and out of areas in the Midwest. Snowfall reports are absolutely incredible. This all happened in such a short period of time. Hartford, Connecticut, Sussex County, New Jersey, 15 or more inches of snow. Coney Island saw about 7 inches, JFK Airport 4.2, and Central Park over 3 inches of snow. We don't have any snow on the ground here, of course, but we have had 6 inches of snowfall on Valentine's Day. That was back in 1913. And we have had a couple of Valentine's days with snow on the ground in Raleigh, but we didn't break the 6 inches falling on the actual day of Valentine's Day record. That one's pretty long standing. And all of these records for Valentine's Day are long standing. We had 78 for the high back in 1949, -2. We have to go all the way back to 1899 for that -2 record. For Valentine's Day here locally, we expect to see sunshine, a period of partly cloudy skies during the afternoon, but it's a beautiful day. 57 in Roxborough, 60 here in the Triangle, 58 Rocky Mount, and low 60s in Fayetteville. If you're headed out to dinner tomorrow evening, make sure you've got the extra layer with you. By 7 o'clock, we're at 49, and by 9 o'clock, 46 degrees. The winds will be lighter tomorrow compared to today, but there will still be a northwest wind around 10 miles per hour. Thursday, the winds are ramping back up, not as bad as this morning, but it will be breezy. The difference is that the wind on Thursday is out of the southwest, and that's a warming wind. It's going to drive highs into the mid-60s for us, so Thursday is going to be the day to be outside this week. We cloud up Friday, and there will be a chance of a few spotty showers Friday night into Saturday morning. Don't let the raindrop icon on Saturday convince you to cancel outdoor plans. It is just morning rain that we're looking at. The rest of the day looks to be in pretty good shape. More clouds and some cooler weather, though, by the end of the weekend. Ashley and Dan.
Kat, thank you.
A legendary singer is making a stop in the Triangle, where you can catch Grammy winner John Legend coming up. Carowinds looking to hire thousands of employees to work at the amusement park this season.
Officials are hosting a week-long hiring fair starting this weekend as they gear up for opening day next month. Carowinds plans to hire 2,500 seasonal employees. The job openings range from maintenance to ride operations to lifeguards. Carowinds opens for the season on March 9th. So new numbers are out today, and they show that the North Carolina Chinese Lantern Festival was a big boost for the local economy for the 8th year.
My family just loved it so much. More than 216,000 visitors from all 50 states came to Cary to see the giant lantern displays at the Cocoa Booth Amphitheater. The Greater Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau said the festival generated more than $8 million in direct economic impact. That's up almost $1 million from last year. The festival was open daily from mid-November to early January. And then, do you recall, storm damage to several displays forced the festival to close almost a week early, but clearly still great impact. Mm-hmm. Hey, we are looking forward to this one. Grammy Award-winning singer John Legend coming to the Triangle this summer for a special show.
An Evening with John Legend is what it's called. It's scheduled for August 11th at Cary's Cocoa Booth Amphitheater. The show is described as a special solo performance featuring songs and stories with Legend. People can experience intimate reimaginings of his greatest hits like All of Me and Ordinary People, and some new releases as well. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. The Valentine's Day chocolate could cost you a lot more this year.
Cocoa prices have been soaring for months due to severe weather that's led to crop damage in West Africa. Prices have been trading at record highs and are up more than 40% since January. And the higher price of cocoa has filtered through to what you pay for chocolate. Yes, we are all paying more, right? We're so used to hearing that. Mm-hmm. One Wall Street analyst said retail prices for chocolate are up more than 15% over the last 2 years and are expected to keep climbing. Valentine's Day, though, might be a great opportunity to treat yourself or someone else and just indulge in the chocolate.
So here's a list of some popular gifts from Consumer Reports. The Keurig K Mini Plus, convenient to use, and has a variety of different colors. The La Roche-Posay is one of Consumer Reports' top-rated sunscreens. You could use that. Or maybe the Dyson Supersonic Beauty Tool. Testers give it top marks when it comes to drying speed. Upgrade movie night with this Dash popcorn maker, giving a toastier flavor in 2 minutes, or maybe a 15-pound weighted throw blanket by Gravity Blanket, or some Zen. You could try one of those subscriptions to a meditation app, something like Calm or Headspace. You do a combination. Do you know what I mean? You could do the blanket and the meditation. That'll chill you out.
I don't know if I can justify buying myself a Valentine's Day gift.
No?
Maybe I should treat myself.
You get me chocolate, I'll get you chocolate.
Okay, or that weighted blanket, okay?
That works. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. We'll see you then. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.